funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Should we be burning candles right now?
Oh, yes, we should.
I hate you bitches.
So welcome to an Acquired Taste podcast.
It's our spooky episode.
The spooky episode. This is the episode where we requested you guys send us your spooky stories, and my goodness, did you. And we love you for that.
You delivered.
Two out of three love you for that.
So I'm Bethany, that's Kathleen.
Hey.
And that's Sam. And
she's not excited.
No, she's not.
Sam's not excited, but I'm just going to skim right over that because this is my favorite time of year.
You're so lit up right now.
I'm so happy.
You're glowing.
This is where I come alive. I've been telling you guys this for years and years, and you don't listen. This is when I come alive.
We listen every time. You guys aren't listening to me.
I apologize for the sound of my voice. I do have a bit of a cold.
How dare you?
I think it works for the theme, at least.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be okay. So should we just jump right in?
So let's just skip. We did this last year and it went over really well. So for all of you who are new, welcome. For all of you who are like me and are afraid of scary stories, welcome harder. And we have just a pile of stories from you guys, which in itself seems awesome, of just scary happenings. And we're gonna take turns being creepy Alfred Hitchcocks.
Yeah,
and I read over everything last night, and you can tell that these are real, true to God stories.
Well, and Kathleen, shout out to you for being the one who kind of waded through all of these.
Guys, there was not one dud. I printed every single story that we were sent.
We may have to do like a bonus episode or some Instagram videos of us reading some of them.
Let's cross that bridge when we get there.
I feel like that. This is awesome.
We may have to pull Sam out from underneath her bed where she's hiding.
Yeah.
That joke's on you guys. I'll be under one of your beds.
Yeah. I have a bed with drawers, so good luck.
Big drawers,
they
though.
Are. You probably could fit into
huge
them.
Huge drawers.
Could fit into them. Okay, so Kathleen, since you were the one who had to do all the hard work this week, do you want to start?
Sure.
Hold on, I'm on the ones and twos.
Oh, we can do this. Wait, you don't have to do this after the fact? You can do this now? Oh, yeah, you can do this now.
Alright guys, this one comes from Kayla. Here's a true story for you, she writes. My aunt and uncle bought a house in upstate New York and they moved in with their four kids. They started noticing some freaky things going on. The first thing that was odd was that their German Shepherd would not go into one of my cousin's rooms.
Bad sign.
He would stand in the doorway and growl and snarl and look into the room. Then the walls would start to weep in the same spot. The spirits in this house were becoming very attached to my one cousin. It was like she would get in trouble for something and then something strange would happen. The last straw was when my aunt grounded my cousin for something and sent her to her room, and my aunt went down into the basement to finish the laundry, and the utility sink, which was rusted and dislodged from the wall, pinned my aunt to the other side of the room.
What?
That was it. They sent my cousin to stay with my grandmother, and they don't talk about it much anymore.
Wait, the walls were weeping?
Yeah, wouldn't that be the last straw?
Okay. They sent my cousin to stay with my grandmother, and they don't talk about it much anymore. But the first night that my cousin wasn't there, they swear that for an hour, someone was ringing the doorbell and there was knocking on all windows in the house.
Oh my God.
And it was like someone was running around the house, knocking on the windows faster and faster and faster, running faster and faster and faster. So my aunt and uncle sold the house and it ended up getting turned into college housing. The first crew that moved in were guys and they didn't have an issue, but the second crew that moved in were females and a bunch of creepy things immediately happened when they moved out.
No, I'm going to have to call bullshit.
Why?
That's from Kayla.
I have to call bullshit.
Why?
Because I'm sorry. Once the walls start crying, but the final straw was later, like, you need fewer straws.
No, there's an easy explanation for that.
Yeah.
There's a leak in the roof.
Yeah, plumbing.
That's, like, different from a middle of a wall just starting to cry at random times. Trust me, I'm dealing with a poltergeist myself.
I was going to say, says the woman who has a poltergeist puddle.
And no one will help me. I'm not waiting for my couch to, like, pummel me.
Okay. I see. I love that.
Wow. So the one spirit was connected to that one cousin of hers.
Can you imagine how terrifying if you're at home and all of a sudden you just hear, like on every surface, I would wet my pants.
Imagine being an adult and you're like, oh yeah, by the way, when I was a kid, my parents sent me away because the spirit was after me in our house.
Right?
I know.
All right.
No, fine.
Can
great.
I go next?
Yeah, you can go
Sam
next.
Is pissed off.
I'm fine. Everything's all right. Great.
All right. This is from Allison. Hello, my favorite ladies. I know you're looking for some Halloween stories. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. That's me skipping
out. Sorry, it's a robot story. Beep boop.
All right. Over the summer of 2016, my boyfriend and I spent a weekend in Gettysburg. We both love ghost hunting shows. Sup, Bethany? Sup, girl? And decided to find and go on a midnight ghost hunting tour. The tour was actually really cool. We went to three different locations in Gettysburg and got to use EMF detectors as well as dowsing rods. EMF detectors, electromagnetic frequency, they help test. Never mind.
Of course you know that.
The last location we went to was in the woods behind their high school. These woods are apparently really haunted, like everything else in Gettysburg. There's a story of a woman named Rachel who was looking for her husband and waiting for him to come back from war. Rachel, that was Sam sucking her coffee. Sam, try to focus.
I'm so sorry. I'm distracted by the fear.
Samantha, Janessa, whatever your middle name is, focus. What's your middle name?
Janessa now.
Okay. All right. So, Rachel. She was looking for her husband and waiting for him to come back from war. Rachel unfortunately met her untimely death in those wars during the battle. It's said that you can hear her calling her husband's name and crying in those woods at night in the darkness. We were coming to the end of our ghost hunt and the guide wanted to close out with the Our Father prayer just to be safe. I'm not religious at all, and in my head I thought, oh yeah, this is really going to help against a ghost or evil spirit. While he was saying the Our Father prayer, I started to feel a burning sensation on my back. I screamed and jumped back from our circle and immediately lifted my shirt in the back for my boyfriend to look at. I have very long, very red lines along my back. The guy told me that I had been scratched by a spirit. That night, I did not sleep, and my boyfriend and I believe that Rachel even followed him home because for weeks he always felt like someone was watching him. Got to the point where I went and got sage for him to sage his house. Since then, he has not felt any presence.
Oh.
Make of the scratches what you want. It's an experience I cannot explain and sometimes wish I could forget. This is very common in ghost hunting.
Physical evidence.
Physical evidence and scratching. A lot of times if it's three scratches, they say that's demons, but we're just going to move on.
This is why I always have sage.
Yeah, you should always carry sage.
All the time.
Wait, do you guys really always carry sage?
I have sage. I always own
like,
sage.
Like the kind you buy in a spiritual store or like the kind you make your turkey stuffing with?
The kind you buy in a spirit, a bundle of sage.
That reminds me. I need more turkey, have plenty of spirit.
I currently have two bundles of sage in my apartment just in case.
Now, if you were going to go on a ghost hunt, would you just toss one of those in your purse just to be sure?
No.
Because you want the ghost
to
come.
I'm like, hey, ghost, you come home with me, baby. We're going to have a good time. Because currently, I don't think my apartment is haunted, and I'm very upset. The only evidence I have besides like the hidden door, that one hidden door, is when I, like, you know those little porcelain dishes that sometimes stick out of the wall in bathrooms where you put your soap?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So I had put some bobby pins in there after taking my hair down, and they were all sort of scattered around, I'm positive. And when I came home, they were all lined up perfectly neatly in the dish. But it's also very possible that I thought I threw them down, and the ridges in the soap dish made them fall kind of in a line. That's the only thing that's happened, and I really don't think.
I choose to believe that your cats are screwing with you, and they have really good attention to detail.
They're amazing. Loki is a little OCD about his bobby pins.
He's a Tim Gunn cat.
He is a Tim Gunn cat. Make it work. Okay, Sam.
I don't want to.
You have to.
That's not true.
You are contractually obligated.
Yes, you are.
Bitches. Mm-hmm. Great. Megan Lynn, thanks a lot for whatever you're about to do to me. Okay. So a few years ago, my family lived in a haunted house. No, I'm sorry. This is not the sentence you start the story on.
One of us.
So a few years ago, my family lived in a haunted house. When we first moved in, I was the only one to notice anything scary. I would hear voices calling out my name at night. At first, I thought it might be my sister, but then she would tell me it wasn't her. Then I started seeing a little girl appear at night by my desk.
She wouldn't do or say anything. She'd just stand there. One night, I was trying to sleep.
That one's on you, Sam. You chose this bed.
This is my bed. Bringing down the voices.
One night, when I was trying to sleep, something tried pulling my foot. I don't remember it very well, but I remember it tugging at my foot for just a brief moment before it stopped. No one was in the room. I had been telling my family about what I had been experiencing, but they didn't believe me. Then my dad and I were standing in the kitchen where no one else was home, and we heard a crash come from my parents' room. So we went to see, and my mom's camera was sprawled out on the floor. There was no way it could have fallen like that by mistake. A few days later, my mom started telling us about how she was getting locked out of the house. She would go into the backyard to smoke when no one else was home. But when she went to go back inside, she'd be deadbolted out of the house.
Oh, that's awesome.
This happened twice. One night, I was sitting on the couch watching an episode of Doctor Who when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a man sitting on the couch with me. When I turned to face him, he was gone. So I calmly turned off the TV and went to bed.
That's what you do.
How do you go to bed?
You have to.
How do you act calmly?
Oh my gosh.
One night when my sister and I were both at work, my parents were staying up waiting for us to get home. They heard the dog start barking, so they thought we were home. Then they heard a voice telling the dogs by name to shut up, and we weren't home. The next day, my dad thought he saw me walk down the hallway toward my room. He asked my mom if either me or my sister were home, and we weren't. Those were all the major experiences, but overall, there were very weird, dark feelings in that house, and I experienced a lot of sad feelings while living there. There wasn't any history of someone dying on that property, but my theory is the little girl was an evil spirit, and the man was a good spirit, and they balanced each other out. When one overpowered the other, that was when the activity would happen. Ever since we moved out, nothing has happened in our new house. We don't know if the current people who live there have had any experiences, but I know my sister and I would love to find out.
Who's that from?
Megan Lim Lummis.
Megan, yeah. That's amazing.
Oh, man.
Sam is crumpling up your story, but she's doing it with respect.
You know what? I like her logic.
That's her logic.
The yin spirit and the yang spirit, yep. And they chill together. And then when one has a little bit of a flare up,
yeah,
that's when crap starts to go
My favorite down. Is when her mom gets deadbolted outside.
That's so awesome.
I'd rather get deadbolted outside than have someone doing this to me, tugging my foot in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I don't know. The deadbolting for me is very forceful.
It is, and it's less explainable than a foot thing.
Yes, yeah.
You know, like a foot thing, you can be like, oh, I was just dreaming really vividly.
Yeah.
Whereas a deadbolt is a very physical thing.
I guess so. Yeah,
amazing.
I just don't want to be touched by anything that I don't know.
Okay, guys, this one. Oh shoot! Did I leave her name off of it?
Oh no.
I left her name off of it, but I left in the opening paragraph where she says she's from North Idaho, from this town called Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene?
Coeur d'Alene. Okay. There you go.
France in Idaho.
And she goes on to explain that all the celebrities are flocking there. And I just saw photos from Julianne Hough's wedding in Idaho. And I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on in Idaho. And then she's like, I'm from this town. And Julianne just got married.
Kathleen, focus. This is Halloween.
So I'm sorry. Anyway. I would like to find myself in North Idaho.
If you can make your scary stories somehow intersect with page 6, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay,
so here's my scary story. In our early 20s, my best friend and I rented a house in our downtown area with another girl. It was an older house and it was kind of funky, but in the middle of everything in town, so it was perfect. And we were of newly legal drinking age. It had an unfinished basement where the washer and the dryer were supposed to be, but they didn't have any units there. So there was no reason for us to go down to the basement. Over the next few months, when we were at the house, the light in the basement always seemed to be on. And it was a bulb with one of those pull chains, and it had a switch at the top of the stairs. After talking to each other, we learned that no one was turning on this light. We made a pact that we would never, ever, ever touch it. Yet the light was still on almost every day.
Rock and roll.
and I was constantly turning it off. There were so many other random things that happened in this house. Our top cupboards in the kitchen, they were very high, and they always seemed to be cracked a little bit, and water would randomly run in the bathrooms when we weren't there, and the door to the basement was always cracked. So we all just chalked it up to it being an old house, but it still made us pretty uneasy. One night, I had a guy who I'd recently met. He was staying over, and my room was upstairs, essentially the attic of the house. And I was just about to sleep when he sat straight up in bed and he said, "I have to leave." Being a little startled and confused, I was like, "Did I do something to turn you off?" I asked him what was wrong. He said that there was a little girl standing in the corner looking at him, and it made him uncomfortable.
Bye!
I thought that he was just making this up so he could leave, and I asked him, "Seriously?" And he said that he always had a strange connection with ghosts and that they would attack him when he was little, and he was super uncomfortable staying in the house and he wanted to leave. And he described her and pointed to where she was standing, but I still couldn't see anything. And I'm sorry, my boogers are red. I have snot dripping down my face.
Your boogers came just in time to prevent me from having a breakdown. Okay, go. Go on.
So he left and I didn't say anything to my roommates because I was just really embarrassed. A few weeks later, my BFF and I had a falling out and we all moved out of the house very suddenly. And then after a few months, we all got together and we got dinner to make amends and we started talking about the house and how it was definitely haunted. Turns out they were experiencing the same things that I was, and we never said anything to each other. My one friend said that she did see a little girl darting around corners and standing in the corner of the room like that guy, and she described him exactly like he described her, black hair with a dress, just standing there. And I was totally freaked out because I never told her anything about what he said, and I instantly felt bad for not believing him for leaving. And we tried to do some research to see if anything bad happened in the house, but we can't locate anything. And then she ends the email. Okay, love you, bye.
So if you're looking for a resource, you can go to diedinhouse.com. Now, they are going to charge you $11. And so far, no house that I have checked has shown up as someone having died in it, even though someone I know had someone die in their house and it says they didn't. But
really?
If you're curious,
refund.
Diedinhouse.com.
Great. Please don't look up my apartment.
Okay.
Also.
Wait, what's another one?
Sorry, I missed our friends. I thought this was a good time to bring the cats in.
What's another one?
The kitty cats. Oh, I'm sorry. That's I didn't hit here. This is a good one.
Can I ask a weird side question?
Yeah.
All these things I'm hearing, let's say I choose to believe these.
Yes.
Okay? All of these are true. Everyone has the last straw moment in these. What would have to happen to you to be like, this apartment's Felicia. I'm leaving. Goodbye. Like, what?
It would have to be very obviously an angry, like, I reach for a door and it slams.
Yeah. Okay, so you were door things, like getting kept out of something.
Yeah, or like potentially...
objects getting broken.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. I have a mirror fear.
Sleep? A what?
Mirror fear.
Oh, yeah.
If I close my medicine cabinet is a mirror, and I'm not kidding. Every time I open it and go to shut it, I'm like, if someone is standing in the shower behind me, I am very calmly leaving.
You're noping out?
I'm getting an Uber an hour and a half to my parents' house, and they'll have to figure this out later.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Yeah, if you see something, what was I watching? I've been watching so many scary movies that I sort of wonder. I was watching one that purported to be, I think it was a documentary because I looked some stuff up and it was actually real. But there was a woman who said she was pregnant, living in this house that's very super haunted. And she was so pregnant, she was having a really hard time turning over and in bed. And she was used to seeing sort of this maid kind of just walking around, but the maid never seemed upset. She was sort of just always like hurrying up and down the stairs. And so as she was trying to turn over in bed, all of a sudden this maid shows up and says, "Do you need help, dear?" And the woman was just like, "Yep." And the maid like took her hands and helped her turn over and then was gone.
This maid that doesn't, what a nice spirit.
It's that kind of thing I'd be okay with.
That would be my first straw.
Okay, ready? I don't know who this is from, but I love it. Here we go. After college, my twin sister and I decided to move back in with mom for the summer. Smart financial move, by the way. My mom lives in a home built in the 1800s in a small town in Vermont. Growing up in the house, we always heard noises we couldn't explain and creaky floorboards that my mom always blamed on the house settling. Nothing ever really spooked me until my sister and I had moved back in. One afternoon, I was laying down for a nap in my bedroom, which is located at the top of the stairs on the second floor. At the bottom of the stairs is the front door that leads to a porch. I heard footsteps leading up to the door and started to get up. I then heard the screen door open and the heavy front door creak open. I was startled and jumped out of bed to see who was walking through the door. No one was there, and both doors were closed. I ran downstairs to investigate, and nobody was home or had come home. The next day, I was upstairs in my bedroom, and I heard footsteps walking up the staircase leading to my room, and I heard what sounded like an old recording of music and a guy whistling. I had no radio or TV on, and when I walked into the hallway, there was nobody there, and the music had stopped. My sister's room was on the other side of the hallway. She had also experienced some activity. One night, she was sleeping in her bed and felt someone sit on the edge. She would sit up and then not see anything. She claims to have had this happen multiple times. She also had a dog that would always be afraid to walk to a certain corner of her room as if something was there he didn't like. He'd often be found standing in her room just staring into the corner. No danger came from anything we heard. It just spooked us a bit. We actually named the ghost. Oddly enough, we both came up with the name Henry without consulting each other. We didn't find it odd. My mom calls it our twin thing. We're always copying each other unknowingly. One afternoon in the early fall, my mother, sister, and I were cleaning out the garage in preparation for winter. My mom had come across some old letters, handwritten in barely legible cursive. The date of postage was 1924, and all signed from a man named Henry.
No, I just got chills.
Yes, that's amazing. I don't have your name, but that was awesome. Thank you so much.
Why do you guys, why do you do this to me? Why am I here?
Do you want to do one more, Kathleen?
Sure. I Sam has a good one I just handed her.
Great. Can't friggin' wait. Guys. It hit that point where, like, the fun part of the scary is, like, the initial wave is, and now I'm just actually scared.
Yeah, good.
I hope nobody's listening to this driving very late at night, and their final destination is a house where there's nobody in it.
I hope they are.
Oh, my God.
And they're in a maze of cornfields driving through Coeur d'Alene.
And you pulled the dog out of the car, and the dog's like, nope, not going in there.
Nope. If your dog or cat is ever looking at something that you don't see, they say if you look into its eyes, you can see a reflection of what they're looking at.
What?
It's never actually worked for me, but worth a shot.
I'm gonna cry right now.
Because the other day, Loki was on my bed staring intently at something on the other side of my very long apartment, which was shrouded in darkness, and I could not get him to stop looking. I'm hoping it was a naked neighbor, but maybe, whatever. Keep going. Continue.
I'm gonna cry. It's not funny, guys. I did not put on enough makeup spray for it to not run.
It's kind of funny.
All right. Hey, Danielle. Let's see what you got. Growing up, my family and I were in and out of homes a lot. Some of those houses we lived in while newer, while some were older. One house in particular was older and was located on its own dead-end street. It was house number one, and it was the only one on the block, which is strange because it was surrounded by a development of houses. Lots of spooky things happened on this dead-end street. One moment that will forever be embedded in my head took place on a Saturday morning in summer. I had just woken up and was pretty tired. I saw the light coming from in my window, so I knew it was morning. Slowly, I sat up and was getting ready to put on my TV, but as I sat up, I saw a little girl, maybe 5 or 6 years old, sitting at the edge of my bed. She was just looking at me, and she had short, straight hair with bangs. She was wearing a striped t-shirt with pink shorts and white sneakers. I will never forget this image. I quickly buried my face into my pillow and tried to wipe the image away. When I looked back up, she was gone. I tried to tell myself this was a dream, but deep down inside, I knew it was too real to be a dream. I still remember the girl's face and the way she sat on the edge of my bed, and I will never forget her. The second freaky moment includes my sister. She had the bedroom on the first floor, so her window looked out at the driveway. My sister was getting ready to go out with her friends when she heard a beep. She looked out the window and saw a car. In the car sat a girl who was looking in the rear view mirror to fix her hair. She looked quickly and had assumed that this was her friend picking her up, so my sister got her things and headed for the door. When she stepped outside, the car was gone. She called her friend to ask what had happened, and her friend said it was never her. She would be heading out shortly. We never knew whose car it was or who the girl was, but my sister swears she saw someone out there. The final freaky incident includes my same sister and my mother. My mom and sister had been complaining about a banging at night. Our upstairs hallway was long and the floor was wooden and creaky, so you could hear it even if someone was just walking to the bathroom. The noises they were hearing were from the hallway. They often thought it was my middle sister coming home late at night. The noises went on for a few weeks and they eventually stopped talking about it because they didn't want to freak the rest of us out. One night, my sister, who's the same one who saw the girl in the car, was in the kitchen. She heard the bangs and walked over to the bottom of the stairs. When she looked up, she saw a little girl running from my sister Lisa's bedroom door back to the stairs. She ran back and forth twice, and my sister said, "Lisa, what are you doing?" She realized it was not Lisa. She went back to the kitchen and back to the stairs, and the girl was gone. She told my mom the story the next morning, and my mother said, "Stop. Don't say any more. I saw someone, too. Write down what you saw, and I will do the same. We'll compare and see if we describe the same person." Sure enough, they both wrote down the following: girl with long black hair and a white nightgown. Needless to say, we moved out shortly.
Why is it girls with long black hair is like the worst?
What?
That house is haunted by a bunch of girls.
That just sounds like my house.
Oh, yeah, that is your house.
It's just Sam's Italian family. Like,
she wrote on the bottom in asterisk, "I really did not make any of this up. This house was creepy as f."
What if it was like a real life family, like Little Women, and they all died in the house?
They all died in the house.
Like, if they're not doing evil things, why are they? I have to crumble it because it makes it like it never happened. If they're not doing evil things, why do these guys hang around?
Well, sometimes it's not necessarily an intelligent haunting. Sometimes it's basically like something happened there that was so intense that they're energy sort of imprinted there. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a tape being replayed. So that's a lot of times why you'll see like somebody, like in a hotel, for example, people are like, "Oh, I always see the same woman walking down the stairs," because like something happened where she is always doing that, but it's not actually her. It's just like a stain of an imprint of her energy doing that. Does that make sense?
It does, unfortunately.
Yeah, so it's not something you can talk to. It's just something that's there.
Doing its own thing.
Replaying itself, yeah, over and over again.
It's like a Victrola
of
spirit.
Yeah, it's like a Victrola.
I am so uncomfortable. I'd like to cry. I think that would help.
I wish we could do these forever and ever, but the big show starts in 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
We have enough for a bonus episode, don't we?
We need to do a bonus episode.
Right.
Quickly, what we learned this week. Can I start? Because I learned something really awesome.
Please.
Absolutely.
So, you know when a dog is going to the bathroom, it looks at you like it's ashamed, but it locks eyes with you?
Okay.
I found out why that is.
Why?
Okay, because dogs see you as part of their pack, right?
Yeah.
And so the most vulnerable a dog could ever be is when they're going to the bathroom, because it's really hard for them to like run away or look, you know, behind them, all that stuff. So they're staring at you to read your body language. They trust that you're going to protect it. So they know that, like, if you start to run, they know they need to run. And they're also looking at you like, okay, I trust you're going to watch my six while I go to the bathroom. It's their way of letting their guard down, but putting all of their trust in you that you're going to let them know something comes up if they need to run.
Aww,
isn't that sweet?
That's really nice.
Yeah.
So, here I thought Oliver was challenging me.
No,
like,
he's
yeah, peeing, what are you going to do about
it? It means he thinks of you as part of his pack, and he's just going to let you, he's making sure that you're going to protect him while he's in this vulnerable state. It's really sweet. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. This put me in a better place.
Yeah,
thank you,
good.
Bethany.
It's good. Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
Help me.
I also learned something about pets, which
nice.
Is funny. And actually, the person who told me this is Sam. And
I
think the person who told Sam was you, Beth. Cannoli, my cat, does this thing where she's like, lick, lick, bite. And then, but the bites like hurt a lot. And I'm like, why are you licking me and being so nice and then biting me, you little bee cat? I sometimes call the cat a bitch, and my husband gets really upset. He's like, don't
you say that. You guys are such good parents.
And turns out, Bethany via Sam then to me, the biting is actually a kiss, and it's lick, lick, and then kiss.
It is. It's their way of, because a mother cat does that, because cat's nerve endings are deeper into their skin, so they can bite harder and they don't feel it. So kind of a hard bite is what the mother would do to kind of show protection over,
that's so
over
sweet.
The thing. Sam, I have to run and talk to Elvis quickly.
You run. While you run.
Bethany's got to go do the big show. Sam,
she's
got to
go do things.
What'd you learn this week?
I'm going to tell you what I learned this week. I learned that you should never lose, like, try actively hard to not lose your child whimsy, or whatever exact phrase I'm looking for.
Whimsy.
Because Willy Wonka is like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is on Broadway right now, and that was one of my movies with my mom growing up.
Oh,
and I haven't thought about it in so long.
A childhood favorite.
Yeah, so I'm like, here it is on Broadway. So mom and I got the opportunity, and we went to go see it.
That's awesome.
I like squealed at multiple times. Like I couldn't help it. Wait. But something would happen, and I would remember it in the movie, and I'd like.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but I'm dying to know what they did with the girl who turns into the blueberry.
The extra stuff, like that kind of stuff, was very good and very cute.
Aww.
Like that part, I enjoyed that part very much. And it was super cute.
Also the line, the schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
There was no mention of schnozberries.
What's up?
I know. It's basically not Willy Wonka.
Malarkey.
It's fine. All right, guys. Wish Bethany were here, but we're going to do another bonus episode.
Yes, we are.
Great. I don't want to, but I know I have no say in this because it's never worked before. So follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
And on Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
And send us in more stories
if you
like this and you haven't done it yet.
Absolutely.
Just try and kill me. That's it.
It's only the 18th of the month. We could do two bonus episodes. Our email address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And here she comes like a phantom.
To say goodbye.
Bye, you guys.
We love you.
Bye, guys.